The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsberg was recorded live and is presented to you free of charge by Galilei Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginsberg. Galilei Institute is a non-profit organization and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.
This week's parasha is Parashat Mishpatim, which is also called by the sages Parashat Dinim, which means the portion of the Torah that deals with civil law. This is the topic which immediately follows the previous Torah reading of the giving of the Torah, the Ten Commandments. One of the most important categories of civil law that's treated in this week's parasha, which also afterwards became a full tractate in the Talmud, the tractate which is called Bava Kamma, begins with the four different types or categories of damages that one may be responsible to damaging someone else's property. In which case, of course, if I'm responsible damaging someone else's property, then I have to pay him. Of the four categories, one of them is fire. And a person lights fire and the fire gets out of hand and starts to spread and even spread wildly and takes catches onto or takes fire on some field that has wheat, standing wheat or stalks of wheat that have been harvested and causes damage, great damage, natural damage. Burns away a forest or other examples of fires that we all have heard of and know about. This is one of the categories of damage that is dealt with in this week's Torah reading. So the meditation that we're going to meditate upon this evening is the image of the fire. The fire that a person, you light a match. For this week, we're going to think of what to meditate upon when a person lights a match. You light a match and there's a fire. Now the fire is dangerous. Even a little match, a little spark of a fire, if it's not controlled properly, it can burn down a whole community, a whole city. So you have to be very, very careful with fire. So once more, that's going to be now our meditation, is fire, how to properly control fire. And obviously, by controlling fire, you're going to transform it into a most, most positive power of the soul and power of technology. Because all of technology has to do with the mastering, the usage, the proper usage of energy. And more than any of the other of the elements of our physical world, which are fire and air and water and earth, that element which represents energy per se is fire. And so we'll begin now our discussion and meditation with a very famous machloket, which means difference of opinion between the sages in the Talmud. The Talmud discusses this category of damage which is called Eish, fire, and brings a difference of opinion between two great sages. One is Rabbi Yochanan, his name, and the other is his companion, his contemporary, whose name is Reish Lakish, or in full Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. And they differ with regard to how one visualizes fire, especially this fire that's going to get out of hand and is going to catch on to, first it says in the verse in our this week's Torah reading, that first the fire that gets out of hand catches on to thorns, and then from the thorns it continues to now burn down positive things, good things, or it's valuable things that you have to, you're responsible to pay for. First, the stacks of corn, and then standing corn in the field, and even the field itself. Sometimes a field that was already plowed, if a fire catches onto the field, it destroys or ruins all of the preparation of the field for a sowing thereafter. So these are all possibilities that the verse in the Torah discusses. After first stating, it is also part of our image, that the negative fire that gets out of hand first catches onto thorns. And then from the thorns, it continues on to reach and to consume good things. So once more, there is this fundamental difference of opinion, which obviously how to envision the fire also is going to have its ramifications on how we decide in our civil law case how much responsibility the person that set the fire has to pay for the negative results of the fire. The first opinion is that of Rabbi Yochanan. He says that Rabbi Yochanan says that fire, if you light a match and then you don't control, or you're not careful with the fire from the match, and it burns down something, so that fire is like you shooting arrows. That's the expression in the Talmud, that Isho Mishum Chitzav, that's the original Hebrew, that fire is like shooting arrows. That you yourself shot the arrow, and it reached some place, some object, and it harmed it. It caused damage that you have to pay for. The other differing opinion is the opinion of Reish Lakish. That Reish Lakish says that fire isho mishum mamuno, it's like a possession of yours. It's not like you yourself directly took a bow and arrow and shot an arrow. It's like if, for instance, you have an ox, which is another category of damage. And your ox, which is your possession, it belongs to you, and you should be careful to take care of your ox. But if it gets out of hand and it causes a damage, so you're also responsible for it, but not to the same extent as you're responsible for your own self shooting an arrow. So without getting into all the details of the laws, on the legal side, there are different ramifications of damage, which we'll call them direct results of damage. If something is a direct result of damage, it doesn't make any difference. If we consider the fire to be an arrow, or we consider the fire to be your ox. Once more, these are the two things that we're now going to have to put together if we have our full meditation upon the fire. So since we have two opinions of two great sages, that one sees, meaning that these sages themselves meditated upon the fire, and one saw in the fire arrows being shot. That once more, you lit a match, and as soon as you lit a match, you began shooting arrows. Arrows could be sparks of fire or some other image, but the word that's used is arrows. The other great sage, when you light your match, he sees that you're creating an ox that belongs to you. But it's not that exactly you're now directing this ox of yours to a certain object, to a certain destination. It's just that you now possess this ox, and whatever the ox does, certainly to a certain extent, you are responsible for, because it's your ox. So just as a vision, this is a very, 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 very beautiful, we even call it vision, whether you see fire as arrows, or you see fire as an ox. So if we're going to now meditate upon the fire this week, so it means that we have to be able to identify in the fire both dimensions. There must be, and since these are two great sages, each one is saying the truth, even though when we decide the law, we have to pronounce the law either in accordance with one or the other. But there is definitely truth in each one of these two visions, meditations upon the fire, that one sees the arrows and the other sees the ox. So again, first of all, we'll return to explain the difference of, in the legal decision, what everything has to make a difference legally. The difference is that in either case, direct damage a person is responsible for. The difference is with regard to indirect damage. That if there are all kinds of ramifications which are indirect damage, this obviously has to be defined, just exactly what we mean, but for our sake we'll just call it indirect damages or secondary damages, not primary damages. So any damage which is secondary or indirect, if it's your ox, you're not responsible for. You don't have to pay for just the direct damages, the primary damages. But if it's your arrows, meaning that you actually took a bow and arrow and you shot the arrow, then you have to pay both the direct damages together with the indirect, the secondary damages. Meaning that it's much worse to shoot actually directly, you yourself shoot your arrow. That it's a direct extension, whereas your arrow is a direct extension of yourself. Whereas your ox belongs to you, so you have to guard it. But still, it's not a direct extension of yourself. And you didn't actually, as it were, do it on purpose, even though in the case of the arrow, it also wasn't on purpose. But in a certain level of the soul, a certain unconscious level, there is a purposeful or an intentive shooting of the arrow. So once more, this is the difference between the two opinions of Rabbi Yochanan that says that fire, lighting a fire, is creating a situation of bow and arrow, shooting arrows. Whereas Reish Lakish says that the fire is just a possession of yours, an ox that can go out and do damage. And once more, the law says that in either case you are responsible for direct damage. But with regard to indirect damage, it depends. That if it's an arrow, you're responsible, have to pay for it. If it's an ox, you don't have to pay for it. Okay, so now after this preliminary picture, as we said before, we have to now try to see in the fire these two dimensions of arrows and oxen. So this is a good, certainly a good opportunity to develop one's sense of imagination, to be able to see in fire arrows being shot together with an ox being created and starting to roam around your ox. Now, of course, an ox can have a good purpose. Many harvests, an ox is for plowing, for producing harvest and fruit. And many fruit can be produced by the force, the power of the ox. So an ox is a very positive thing. As we're going to see, the arrows are also can be very positive. Now the first thing that we'll try to take in mind is that we know that what the prophet Isaiah says, that one of the visions of the Messiah coming, of Mashiach coming speedily in our days, is that all of the vessels of war, like swords and so forth, will all be beat into plowshares. I will beat their swords into plowshares and so forth. And no nation will lift up a sword against any other nation. There will be universal peace on earth. This is one of the greatest and most important visions of the future. So based upon this, first of all, let's say, how do we actually decide the law? We decide the law in accordance with Rabbi Yochanan, that your fire is arrows. But as we said before, both opinions certainly are true, each one in its own dimension. The image of an arrow at first glance appears to be a war-like image. Because an arrow is, you use arrows to shoot in war. An arrow can be any type of shooting, any type of gun or modern ammunition which is shooting. So fire, even the word fire is used almost synonymously for weapons that shoot fire, any type of shooting of fire. So that very closely relates the fire to the arrow, to war. Whereas ox is a, as we see from Isaiah himself, that ox and the plowshare of the ox is the symbol of peace, of agriculture, of developing technology positively, taking warfare or things that technology that was developed for the sake of warfare and transforming it into technology which is used for the sake of agriculture and peace. So once more, my first glance would be that the arrow image is a war image, and the ox is a theoretically it's a peace image, but here is also an ox that gets out of hand and that burns down a field. So maybe in the long run, the ox can be even worse than the arrows if the fire is an ox. Especially, the result is that if it's your ox, you yourself feel less responsible. Not only does the law say that you are indeed less responsible, but if it's just my ox, so I really didn't do it so much. I lit the fire and I created an ox, and then the ox himself, even though an ox doesn't really have free choice, but nonetheless, it's not my free choice what the ox does, even though the ox belongs to me and I have a responsibility to take care of the ox. As if I know for sure that this ox three times over has caused damage, then I have more responsibility to take care of. But if it's just a peaceful ox that hasn't caused damage three times, then I have less responsibility to take care of. Nonetheless, if it causes damage, the direct things I have to pay for. In the case of a real ox, sometimes I only have to pay half of the damage. But in the case of the arrows, assuming in the case of the fire, it's not half of the damage, but I have to just pay for the direct things, as we said before. So first of all, this suggests that sometimes an image which is peace, like peace now, can actually be the most harmful of all, can produce the most damage of all. As once more we said that the at first glance, the difference between the images of the arrows and the ox is one of, like in the future, of beating the swords into plowshares. It's an image of war, an image of peace. But clearly here in our context, the ox can be the very, can cause the very worst damage of all. Now to take it one step further, how can we see in the arrow image also a very positive thing? Because we have to see in both the positive and the negative. As before, we said that the fire being an arrow is like warfare. That's what it seems to be, that you're shooting arrows at somebody. But there is in the Torah and in the Kabbalah and Hasidut an image which also exists even in the secular world, that shooting arrows either means revealing new insights, that an arrow is a new insight of the mind, or it means at a more emotional level of the soul, shooting arrows is shooting arrows of love. It's like the image that people are familiar with even in the, as we said before, in the secular world, that you shoot an arrow into somebody's heart. So to shoot an arrow, which is an arrow, this is fire. You're shooting a fire arrow into your friend's or your beloved's heart. What does that image present? That's the deepest expression of love. Of love that even impregnates the other heart. It says that to shoot arrows, you have to pull the string of the bow very as hard as you can, as much as you can to yourself. And the more that you're able to pull the string deep down into yourself, to that extent does the arrow possess momentum and forcefulness to penetrate into the object that you're shooting at. So in our case, to shoot arrows of love means that it has to come from the very depth of my heart. And if it comes from the very depth of my heart, then the arrow will be shot and will enter into the depth of my beloved's heart. So that's arrows of love. So once more, there are arrows of insight. These are images taken directly from the Torah. That every new insight is called either a lightning flash. And the Torah says that God's arrows, the arrows of Hashem, are flashes of lightning, which is also a fire symbol. So there are lightning flashes. Sometimes also if a lightning flash gets out of hand and catches onto something, it can destroy and burn down a whole forest or a whole city. Chas v'shalom, God forbid. It says that flashes of lightning, which is fire, it's God's fire, are God's arrows. So if Rabbi Yochanan sees in fire arrows, so at a certain level he also sees in fire lightning. But lightning is the most explicit image in the Torah for insight. Because every new insight is called a flash of lightning across the pane of the mind. Now, the shore, the possession, or the ox, on the other hand, is taking care. Let's now try to make this all as positive as we can, or to transform all of this negative energy of fire that's damaging into pure positive energy. So the pure positive side of this is that the arrows are insights and are expressions shooting my love, sparks of love to you. Now, what is the shore? The shore is a much more physical image. It's much more down to earth. The shore is the ox. So what does the shore represent in the most positive way? The shore that is there to produce parnasa, livelihood, and plenty, is caring for you at a practical level. Which also has to be, there has to be fire to care for you, to do as whatever I have to do. For instance, if the situation is a husband and a wife, so if the husband has responsibility to support his family and has to go out to work to make a livelihood and to bring plenty into the home, so his love, his fire, becomes an ox. That's his expression of fire, which is the down to earth care that he's taking, an effort that he's exerting, maximal effort to actually do something in the physical world to take care of his beloved. Whereas if it's on a more spiritual plane, either the plane of the emotions of the heart or the plane of the intellect, that's where the arrows appear. It's either arrows of new insight, even in the relationship between two spouses or two friends. We're taught that Ahavat Yisrael, the love of Israel, is the product, is even a very beautiful numerical phenomenon. That the phrase to love Jews equals love times wisdom. The word love Ahava is 13, its numerical value. Wisdom Chokmah is 73. When you multiply 13 times 73, it becomes 949, which equals Ahavat Yisrael, the love of Israel. So in the love of Israel, you explicitly have the term love. The Israel itself alludes to the mind, because Israel is a permutation, Israel of Li Rosh. I have a mind, and my mind is always producing new insights. What does it mean that loving Israel is a product of love and wisdom? It means that to really love another Jew, you have to always see new aspects. You have to have new insight into the beauty and into the godliness that's inherent in the soul of your beloved. Without mind, the emotion is simply is banal emotion. It's an animal emotion. It's not human emotion. Human emotion, human love, and human arrows of love, a fire of love, come together with always seeing new dimensions in your beloved. So, to summarize, even the way the term is applied in the Talmud, the word Isho, the term Isho Mishum Chitzav, literally reads that one's fire is one's arrows in the plural. It always says that any plural form is at least two. And if I don't know whether it's two or more, I assume that it's two. That's called mi'ut rabim shnayim. That's a general principle in the Torah. So if it says that your fire, your one fire, are your arrows, it implies that there are two levels, two arrows that your fire contains. Whereas the other opinion of Reish Lakish that says that your fire is your property, or as Rashi says, that your property means your ox, actually, your shore, so it's one. So to conclude our meditation, all now transforming it into the positive, the two arrows are the arrow of wisdom and the arrow of love. And the one ox is the ox of taking care. And it all comes from fire. It all is pure, is energy, which now has all become positive energy, that you're seeing new dimensions in your beloved. You're shooting your arrows of love from your heart into your beloved's heart. And on the practical level in this world, you're taking care of your beloved. So this is the meditation of this week, of the fire that was one of the categories of damage has now become a symbol with the arrows and the ox to be a picture of positive fire, love, and interpersonal relationships, how to use your fire positively, not to burn out the other person or to burn away the other person, but to have an eternal flame, an esh tamid and a ner tamid, an internal candle, an eternal flame of fire that connects together the two souls.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg, recorded and presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization, and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Interdimensional homepage at www.inner.org, www.inner.org. In Hebrew, Galinai means, open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ginzburg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah, to discover God, and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Galinai team and participate with Rabbi Ginzburg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah, and Hasidut. Together, the Galinai team will change the world, bringing God's loving kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg's teachings and how to participate with the Galinai team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org, www.inner.org, or email us at inner@inner.org.